Hey, Beauty. This past week, I had to drive my 5-year-old son to the ER. So you will find out what happened this past week. Before we get into the show, I have a free gift for you. It's a free guide called Hope for Your Health for simple, holistic steps to overcome autoimmunity for Christian women. If you download this and you implement even one thing, it could truly transform your health. So go to herholistichealing.com/free. With all that being said, let's get into the show. Welcome to Her Holistic Healing. Do you want more energy and less anxiety so that you can do all the things? Are you searching for meal ideas, essential oils, and other holistic treatments? Do you wish you could know which direction to take with your health so that you could finally feel better? Hey, I'm Alexandra. I love Jesus. I'm a wife, mom of three, and registered nurse with years of experience in clinical research. I also wanted more energy so that I could have more fun and keep up with my growing child. I too was confused about all the different diet and treatment options. I too wanted to wake up every day and feel good, but I felt anxious because I couldn't solve the mystery of my health. Until God showed me that He is the source of true healing. In this podcast, you will learn holistic treatments and Bible truths that will lead you to the peace, joy, and freedom that you have been hoping for. So what do you say we take a break from the mind-numbing humdrum busyness? Let's rest and let God be our healer and helper. When I was growing up, I don't think I ever went to the ER. I went to my yearly checkups, things like that. But I didn't really go to the doctor that much. Whenever we had some symptoms, my mom would just treat it however she thought it should be treated. And that was that. We didn't really see the doctor that much. And that actually worked out really well for us. When I had kids, I didn't really take them to the doctor that much either. So when my son got sick this past week, I'm telling you all this so you know that it takes a lot for me to take my kids to the doctor, let alone the ER. So when my son got sick this past week, it was a pretty big deal because he's always been pretty healthy. He started having these strange symptoms and they progressed pretty quickly. So, and I'm not going to go into what his symptoms were because that's not really the point. Just know that he had these strange symptoms. They started progressing. He fell asleep. I carried him to his bed. He's 5 years old. He woke up and he was crying and his symptoms had just gotten worse pretty fast. So I made the decision to take him to the ER. While I was taking him to the ER, I started praying. After about, I don't know, 15 seconds or so, I started praying Psalm 91 and I started declaring Psalm 91. I started praying over him. After about 15 seconds, he stopped crying. When I got to the ER, I just felt like I really wanted to keep praying for him. So I went to the back seat. I started praying for him. He fell asleep. He woke up. He said that he felt a little tiny bit better. I kept praying. He woke up again, and then he said he felt a little bit better. So I prayed for about 2 hours. I turned to all the passages where I remember Jesus was healing people. I declared scripture. I prayed. I pleaded with God. I asked for healing. So I did this for about 2 hours. He seemed to be getting better and better. I mean, he was nowhere near 100%, but he seemed to be getting better. So I took him back home. I put him in bed. I prayed for him. I kept praying for him until I fell asleep. The next morning, he wasn't 100% better, but he was a lot better. He was just a little weak. All this started on Tuesday evening. By Saturday, he was completely 100% better. I had a doctor's appointment with my other daughter on Monday. It just so happened that it was Monday, so I switched her appointment with my son's appointment. So I took my son to the doctor. just to get him checked out. She wasn't concerned at all. After seeing how fast my son had progressed, how his symptoms had progressed, and also after seeing how quickly his symptoms started to turn around after I started praying, I really see how God showed up and how God healed him. So from this whole experience, I wanted to give you a few reminders. And the first reminder is that God intervenes when we pray. In Genesis 18, Abraham is asking God to spare the people in Sodom. If I don't know if you remember the story, but God was about to destroy all the people in Sodom, but Abraham kept praying. He said, "If you find 50 righteous people, won't you spare the city?" And God said, "Yes, I'll spare the city." And then he prayed for, I don't know, I think it was 20 and then 10 or something like that. I want to be honest with you. I don't completely understand all of this. I don't completely understand how prayer works. I know I'm learning that God made man in the image of God. And even in Genesis 1:28 or Genesis 1, starting in 20, in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. According to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word dominion means supreme authority. So God, it seems like, and forgive me if my theology is wrong, I really want you to dig into the word and ask Holy Spirit or ask him to reveal truth to you. But to me, right here, it says God gave men dominion, dominion over the animals. God gave man power. There's power in prayer. I just wonder if Abraham had not prayed for Sodom, what would have happened? I mean, God did eventually end up destroying the city, but God. Something happens when we pray. I think about the Israelites, how they were enslaved by the Egyptians, and God said, "I have heard their cry." Once again, I don't completely understand it, but God gave us free will. God gave us the, I don't know the right word, the privilege to pray. So sometimes if we don't pray, we won't see. We're missing out on blessings. We're missing out on healing. We're missing out on being delivered from something that we need to be delivered from. It's like, well, my kids are young, but I would imagine, when my kids grow up, or in general, when our kids are older and they're adults, we're not going to intervene so much in their lives. We're not going to just rescue them from every single little thing. We're not gonna give advice necessarily if they don't ask for it. God gives us authority. He gives us the privilege or the blessing, however you want to say it. He gives us the privilege of praying to him, of asking him. He gives us the gift of our bodies. So if we have free will, which we do, we have free will, we have minds that can think. We have bodies that can move. It's our, however you want to say it, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to pray for what we need, pray for what we want. It's also our responsibility if we see injustice happening in the world to do something about it, right? I think I could be wrong, but I think that there are so many times where God wants to step in, but because he has given us authority, he has given us dominion, he doesn't. It's like he would be crossing a boundary line if he did that. I think so many times he wants us to ask, he wants us to pray for things, but he can't force us to. Right? He won't. That's against his character. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "He set us free. It is for freedom Christ has set us free." So we have the freedom to pray for something or not. We have the freedom to help the homeless, help the hungry, help the abused or not. For so long, up until this past year, I just kept wondering, God, why do you allow all this bad stuff, all this suffering? I don't know if I, like I said, I don't completely understand it, but I believe that part of the reason why there's so much suffering, is because we're not stepping up like he has called us to step up. Some people are called to help the homeless. Some people are called to help children that have been trafficked. Some people are called to pray over people that need healing. Some people are called to pray so that the demons would be cast out. Some people are called to be pastors. Some people are called to be lawyers. Some people are called to be virtual assistants. Some people are called to be pet sitters, and some people are called to have desk jobs and reach out to coworkers. We're all called to different things. God has given us all different gifts, and God has definitely given us all the ability to pray. And there's a verse that says, "You have not because you ask not." Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. So I just wanted to remind you of how powerful prayer is. God intervenes when we pray. Ask God for the miracles. Ask Him to intervene. Here's your second reminder. Healthcare professionals are humans that mess up all the time. Unfortunately, medical errors are a huge reason why they're just, I think they were at one time the number two cause of death in the US. People get hurt and die all the time from medical errors, but not just from medical errors, from poor judgment. The whole healthcare system is based on profits. It's not based on common sense. The system is not based upon wisdom from God. There's that verse that says that a love of money is at the root of all evil. Unfortunately, a lot of healthcare is based upon how much profit certain companies can make. I'm not saying that you should never go to the doctor or the ER. I actually drove to the ER. We didn't go into the ER, but I'm saying this because there's a reason why I was hesitant about taking my son to the ER. First of all, he was really scared, and I knew that the extra stress would not help him heal. When I was sitting in the parking lot, my husband was texting me certain diagnoses that he thinks that maybe my son had. And I was looking at how they determine whether or not a child has this. The article that I was reading said that it was hard to diagnose. Like, if they have this lab test, this shows that they might have this particular disease, and then they get this particular treatment. And this particular treatment is an IV treatment that must be given in the hospital. I don't know much about it, but it's not something that I would want my son to have right off the bat. Here's reminder number three. Healthcare professionals and people in general these days are not trained to think for themselves. This is another reason why I was hesitant about taking my son to the ER. Basically, you never know who's going to be on shift there. I don't know if the people on that particular shift, if they actually cared, or if they got enough sleep the night before. Let's just say they did care, and let's just say they did get enough sleep. Unfortunately, the way that the healthcare education is set up, and just education in general, this is part of the reason why I'm homeschooling my kids. We're not trained to think critically anymore. We're just trained to follow flawed and incomplete research. We're just told to comply. We're just, when we're in school, we just sit there and listen the whole time. We're not necessarily congratulated if we try something innovative or if we give a good idea. The whole system is based upon a grading system that is subjective, and these standardized tests that people take, in my opinion, are not good indicators of intelligence. I'll just speak for myself. I got good grades in school, but I was not good at applying things that I learned. I was good at memorizing for tests. I was a good test taker, but that didn't mean that I was a good thinker. I think now that I'm older, now that I don't numb myself out on the TV anymore, now that I care a lot more about things, now that I'm closer to God, I think that I think a lot better. I think a lot more critically. But unfortunately, with the way our school system is now, the way the healthcare system is, I really don't believe that they teach people to think well. They don't teach people how to think outside the box. So when I'm taking my child to the ER, unfortunately, there's a good chance that the practitioner there might just be thinking, about a couple studies that he read or some things that he read about in a textbook. But every situation is different. You go to one doctor, they say one thing. You go to another doctor, they have a completely different opinion. You go the alternative route, and they will recommend something, completely different. There are so many times where I'm in conversations with people, and they say that they're about to have this surgery, or their child is about to have this removed, or this is being done. Conventional medicine is so quick to just remove an organ or to throw this treatment at someone that has multiple, numerous side effects. Reminder number four, in contrast to all that, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. In the book of James, it says that if we ask God for wisdom, he will give it to us generously. If you come across a healthcare professional that has no knowledge of God, no fear of God, they will not have wisdom. So to recap, here are four health reminders for you. Number one, God intervenes when we pray. Number two, healthcare professionals are humans that mess up all the time. Number three, healthcare professionals are not necessarily trained to think for themselves. Number four, remember that you have Holy Spirit living inside of you. Friend, beauty, I'm not telling you this to say all doctors are bad or never go to the doctor or never go to the ER. I have to remind you as your advocate, because as a nurse, I am an advocate. I feel like the truth is I don't have to. I don't have to tell you any of this, but I want to. I have s just seen so many bad things happen from drugs or from medical errors. I've worked in the industry for so long. I know that there's such high turnover. I know that there's just so many challenges, so many things that don't even make sense, but there's not enough people or not enough people that care to change things. It would take so much to change this very broken, sick system. So the only thing that I can do is tell you what I know. I can pray about it, which I have been, and that's powerful. I'm not going to downplay the power of prayer. I feel like every now and then I have to do an episode like this because, in order for you to choose a different path, you have to see what's not working. And a lot of times we don't see what isn't working until we've heard it over and over again. We have a friend who speaks out about cultural issues, political issues from a Christian perspective. And I asked her, do you feel like people's minds are changing at all? And she said, well, sometimes people's minds don't change until something happens to them. You know what? I think she's right. But I just hope that you don't, if you don't agree with me on any of this, if you think that the conventional medical system is great, I hope and pray that you don't wait until something bad happens to you or a family member of yours before you wake up. If you don't hear anything else from this episode, I just want you to go to God. I just want you to go to God for healing, for wisdom. There are times where God will send you to the doctor or the ER, and I think that there are some amazing ER doctors and some amazing surgeons. There are a lot of amazing healthcare professionals out there, but bottom line is I want you to go to God first. That's my mission. My mission is to encourage you to seek God's wisdom first for your health and life so that you can experience true lasting healing that will allow you to make a greater eternal impact in your home and in your community. If you enjoyed this episode, you can check out my book called Discover God's Health Wisdom, Exposing 8 Common Myths That Keep You Sick. You can buy it basically anywhere books are sold. It's also an audiobook and ebook. It's available in paperback form. You can go to herholistichealing.com/book to find out more. I will talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening today. If you liked what you heard, will you leave me a review on Apple Podcasts? And if you want to connect with me, join me in my free community. The link is in the show notes, or go to herholistichealing.com. Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
For you. It's easy and my burden is light.